Next on BYUSN, BYU football spring practice comes to an end yesterday. What did we learn about the Cougars in the spring? And what are the biggest remaining questions? It's BYU football alumni game day, and one of the legendary coaches, Norm Chow, and one of his prestigious quarterbacks, John Walsh, are in studio to preview the game and look back on their fond days in Provo.
With it being the Final Four weekend, we'll discuss if we'd rather have a men's hoops Final Four or football college playoff in the next 3 years. And we'll draft our BYU Dream Team NBA Jam duos, which Cougar legends make our squads, and why will I draft the better team?
He's on fire! Whoop! Welcome to BYU
Boom,
Sports
shakalaka.
Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Happy Friday, April 3rd. I am Spencer Linton, alongside a man who has his alumni game day roster and playboards all set, Jerem Jordan.
I'm ready to go, man. I'm very excited about this coming up tonight at 8 Eastern time on the BYU TV app. It's the 5th annual BYU alumni flag football game, and it's in Lavelle Edwards Stadium, and it's going to be awesome. I cannot wait. Some legends, man. You mentioned we're going to talk to Norm Chow and John Walsh in studio. I mean, come on. These are two of the greats at BYU. John Walsh with that 619 single-game passing record still at Utah State. Norm Chow, of course, coached all the great quarterbacks here, not to mention Phillip Rivers at NC State, Carson Palmer, Matt Leinart at USC, NFL. Come on. So I can't wait. Today's going to be a ton of fun. And all these alumni from football are on campus with their family. Some are playing in the game. Breakfast, hang out with the coaches and players, the game tonight. It's going to be awesome. When these guys get together, it's a ton of fun just to be around them.
Will 619 passing yards in a single game ever be broken at BYU?
I don't think so. I think that's insane. I mean, maybe. But you think about it, it's been a long time.
It's
33 years?
And 55 yards per quarter. That's insane. And we're going to talk to John Walsh.
You're going,
what, did it.
50 yards a drive? Like, what?
That's great. Yeah, I told you, this is a feel-good Friday. Vibes are immaculate, so rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
I'll say Bears really progressed a lot.
Yeah, I think the key is for everybody to get better.
Touchdown, LJ Martin.
Yeah, Kyler's looked great. Excited to see what we can keep evolving this offense.
A unique game day at Lavelle Edwards Stadium, but first things first, the 2026 BYU football Cougars just wrapped up spring football. They held their 15th and final practice of the spring session yesterday. And so as we wrap up, naturally, we want to assess what the Cougars are and, maybe more importantly, what did we learn about BYU football this spring?
There's a bunch of stuff. I'll just say a couple and then we'll bounce back and forth here. Bear Bachmeyer continues to get better. Word is he's even quicker in his pre-snap assessment. He's getting the ball out. He's making great decisions. He's looking good. Remember, this is his first spring. He was in spring ball at Stanford last year, then transferred in May.
Full off season
in the strength and conditioning program, in the playbook. Although, by the time BYU got to fall camp, he had the playbook fully, ensconced into his mind, and he was good. So that's number one. Number two is, at linebacker, I'm feeling really good, despite the loss of Jack Kelly. Cade Uluave is the real deal, says Kalani Sitake, and the first-team All-ACC Cal transfer. Then there's Jake Clifton, who has been making waves. He is a return missionary transfer. He played 2 years at K-State, went on a mission, he's back. And was it Jake Clifton that Kalani was talking about on Pro Day, where he said, who was your mission president, Dick Butkus? Was that in reference to Jake Clifton?
Yes, he's right.
He's in good shape. He's making plays. He could see some serious playing time, which is great. And so I'm feeling good about that with Isaiah Glasker. And then obviously you have, Ace Kafusi.
Ciale Acera
back. I think BYU is so good at backer. It'd be interesting to see if we will see some 3-4. That you have so many playmakers on that side. Does BYU throw a variation out there?
Do the edge rushers float back
and
a little bit?
When you play nickel, are you 3-3-5, right? Are you inserting,
the old Bronco Mendenhall
in
approach?
Yeah, and last year we saw, some interesting looks, some 4-2-5 nickel looks. But you have so many backers, do you put an extra one out there? So I'm feeling good about those two things to start. And did we need spring ball to learn those things? We did. That's the value of spring ball, is more for Bear. And then some of these new guys, are they good enough? Are they playing well? The answer at linebacker right now, yes.
Well, we've learned that guys are getting healthier. Bear Bachmeier's ankle is feeling 100%. Dudes are getting the surgeries that they need. Isaiah Glasker says that he is on the fast track to being better and feeling more confident than certainly he did for much of last season. Now that we look back on it and the players are more open about it, they can tell you how much pain and how influential those injuries were in limiting them, specifically Jack Kelly and Isaiah Glasker. But Isaiah said, his words, what do you expect this fall? And he said, I expect to be a monster. I'm going to be healthy. So let's hope for Isaiah as a monster on that linebacking core, because I had some significant questions following the season. When you lose a talent like Jack Kelly, and Isaiah hasn't been great, it's like, well, you got a new defensive coordinator now, and the approach might be different. What's that linebacker core going to look like? Are they going to be okay? And how do you replace a guy like Tanner Wall at safety? Just instrumental pieces. I feel like I have not so much learned, but maybe the concern has been pushed aside. Like I feel confident that BYU is in position to have a great defense again, and those spots will be in good hands. Faletau Satuala and Raider Dumuni, I feel, will have the safety position on lock.
Tommy Prassis is healthy again as a third.
That's an underrated aspect. People almost forgot entirely about Tommy because
he missed so much time.
Was injured.
And he played a lot of nickel. He and Jonathan Kamara.
And he was good as a freshman.
Yeah.
In 2024. So,
yep.
Tanner, awesome talent. Incredible. We hope he has a long NFL career and he's the next Daniel Sorensen or Zane Anderson. So how do you replace him? You bring in Tommy Prassis to help bolster that group, and then Fale and Raider Dumuni.
Raider Dumuni is the one that's like, hey, I'm ready for more playing time.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I feel very good about some of those key positions where you lose key guys being filled.
Yeah.
And so that, again, is that learning something? Maybe, but I feel like the concern has been pushed away.
Ultimately, you need games to really know, but BYU's feeling confident in those spots. The other couple of things, BYU feels like they have two quality tight ends.
And they're going to be busy.
Walker Lyons, yes. And then the other thing I want to bring up is there's an exciting freshman class. I think we'll have more freshmen contribute this year than we've seen the last couple of years. Devon Ika working to be RB3. Legend Glasker, very exciting prospect at receiver. Bot Mulutalo, does he crack the two deep at tackle? Braxton Lindsay could play some edge, the kid out of Arkansas. And then the Pula twins, Kennan and Jaron. Kennan's a safety. Jaron's a receiver. Could they get a little PT? I'm excited about these freshmen. By the way, most of the team is here right now. There's only like five dudes that are expected to potentially be added. They could always add more here or there. But in terms of like who they've signed out of high school, one dude, Antonio TJ Johnson, is adding. Everyone else is here. They're enrolled. They've been in practice, which is awesome. And then the RMs, there's only three return missionaries
so not a significant
that haven't
wave
shown
there.
Up yet.
Yeah.
And so there's no spring portal. This is the team, basically. You have 98% of the team right here in camp together. Chemistry, execution, plays. I love that idea.
What did we learn over the past few years about what successful college football teams typically look like? They return a significant core of what they had the previous season. And BYU does that.
That's the hope. I mean, Texas Tech is like, not us. Miami added some pieces.
Texas Tech is the exception. Like they've figured it out, and they have significant investment into the program to go and get.
They gelled in a way that BYU did not in 23. Too many transfers,
but
didn't
typically
work that year.
The pattern of success is get your core together and then build and stay together. And
I think at BYU that this is always how it's going to want to be. And then the transfers that BYU added, very intentional. They didn't just add randos. They added, like, you're coming here to be in the two deep.
Jerem, it's a garnish. Like, you want your transfers to be the perfect amount of garnish on your meal. Like, the steak, the potatoes, like, therein lies the value of the team. If you want to be special and, like, take that, you know, meal to another level, you sprinkle in the right additions in the transfer portal, and it's the proper garnish.
In some ways, they are the steak, though. Like Paki Fino at left tackle, you got to be a dude. Walker Lyons, Roger Saliapaga, you guys might be the top two receivers on the whole team this year. So, certain guys are being asked to do more than others, but I'm excited, man. I'm very encouraged, and I can't wait to watch BYU football. So let's go. With that said, what's your biggest question mark still needing to be answered after spring ball?
There are a couple of things. Number one, we don't really know what BYU's defense is going to look like schematically under Kelly Papinga until they play a game. How different will the defense look with a new coordinator in position and some new position coaches? Because we feel we have a good grasp of the players and the talent and the personnel, and their track record and film is great. But what are the wrinkles that Kelly Papinga brings in? How much of the defense will have a Bronco Mendenhall element? Because Kelly was a guy who played for Bronco. And will there be more 3-4, which Kelly is more inclined to want to do some of that stuff? Because that's what he knows and he played in and he has coached. How will that change things? We don't know. Until we see BYU take the field in early September, then we start to find some things out. And then, of course, you and I have talked about this ad nauseum on this show. Who's going to catch the ball in the wide receiver room? I mean, that is a huge question mark.
Yeah.
Because there are a bunch of guys that are in there and are capable, but it doesn't feel like anybody has clearly emerged as like the number one and the number two. It's all up for grabs, it feels.
Feels like Walker Lyons is the most likely number one tight end with Roger Saliapaga.
Yeah.
Those two as a package
tight ends,
deal.
But what about the receivers?
You know, I'm very excited about Kyler Casper. My conversation with him last week and then conversations with the team are that he's going to be a contributor. He's going to be a contributor. There's JoJo Phillips is often brought up as kind of by Aaron Roderick and Festus Itake as kind of the number one right now walking into the season. He certainly has the most experience, had a nice bowl game performance once he got back from the injury to his arm.
His Tiger spring and training camp last year, by the way, like, you listen to anybody on that team talk about JoJo, like, oh, he's the guy. He has ascended. He's going to play a huge role for us here. Gets injured in game two against Stanford early.
Yeah.
Like, it totally derailed things. So,
yes.
Can he finally ascend the throne and stay healthy and be that guy?
And be a top two receiver on the team. Maybe he's the number one. I would pencil him in at number one right now. And then we mentioned, Reggie Frischknecht is a guy that led JUCO 2 years ago in touchdown catches with 14. Redshirted last year. He's 6'4", big-bodied guy. Let's see what he does. Cody Hagan, will he be used more in the pass game? He's been the tornado reverse guy with an occasional, throw to the outside. We'll see. Tiger Bachmeier has got experience. Super solid. And then you have those kind of freshmen with Jaron Pula, Terrence Sarion, Legend Glasker. So there's a bunch of dudes, but who's gonna do it? If they do it by committee, that's fine. You just need to move the chains and score touchdowns. I don't really care how. It just needs to occur. Because when you lose the production that Chase Roberts and Parker Kingston had on the field, that's a lot of yards and touchdowns. So, yeah, that is a question I have in addition to the defense. I would also submit this. Special teams. New coordinator Justin Enna. It was Kelly Papinga. And you have new guys. You don't have Will Farron kicking field goals. You look to Matthias Dunn, probably the guy. Ian Sanchez backing him up right now at place kicker. No Sam Vanderhaar. They were hoping for another year of eligibility.
Didn't get it.
They're kind of running with other dudes. Fuller Shirts probably your starting punter at this point. He's been on the squad for the last couple years. And then Braden Gilbert, a guy backing him up at the moment. Brody Laga comes off a mission. He was a five-star kicker. So he will factor in somehow as well. We'll see. So and then your returners, who are the guys who are returning punts and kicks and providing production in that space? So special teams has been really good the last couple years and important to BYU's success, winning 23 games. That's the question, too, is, okay, who are these new people and new coordinator? Justin has experience there. Will they produce at a similar or higher level?
Well, good news. You only have to wait how many days?
Countdown to the Trailblazers.
155.
155 days away from the first game.
It's still a lot. We're not doing it every day.
A mere 5 months and change.
I think 10 years ago, we used to do this every day in the offseason, which is crazy.
Sad commentary on our lives at that time. On to the next topic. And in the next 3 years, we ask, would you rather BYU football make a college football playoff or BYU men's basketball finally get to that elusive Final Four?
It can't be both. College football playoffs, my answer, because football is king. BYU's been so close, Spence. It feels like in the next 3 years, a.k.a. in the Bear Bachmeier Rider Lions era, that BYU produces one of those, hopefully. And let's be honest, playoffs probably going to expand, so it helps BYU's chances. So it's more likely also, not just would you rather, that BYU makes a playoff in the next 3 years.
The ultimate validation in the sport that generates the most revenue and gets the most eyeballs getting into the college football playoff is the answer. And that's not to say that making a Final Four wouldn't be incredible. And to have that stupid statistic that gets brought up every February and every March that, well, BYU is the team that's made the most NCAA tournaments without getting to a Final Four. Like, I hate that statistic.
I love and hate that graphic.
We just showed you the teams
that have the
most wins without a college football playoff berth in the past few years. BYU is atop the list.
It's by four.
23-4.
It's by four wins.
Best Illinois, by the way, got good at football. Best records without a CFP berth. It's BYU, and it is not close.
Just so, in the past 2 years. And TCU, what, 3 years ago was in the Natty? Was it three or four? I mean, they've been good recently. By the way, Sonny Dykes getting a contract extension today. BYU needs to get in the college football playoff the next couple years. That's the next step here. It's win the Big 12, and then you automatically qualify and or get an at-large.
It would just be, ultimate validation for what the program has been building.
Yep.
And I feel like they're doing it the right way. They kept their guy, Kalani Sitake, barely. I mean, what a wild offseason that was.
I almost forgot. Like, that was crazy.
Absolute chaos.
Yeah, he was gone, and then he wasn't.
They kept their guy. They kept the continuity, the core.
Can BYU do it any other way? I think this is the way. I think this is the only way BYU can be good at football is this. You have a BYU guy leading you that wants to be here. You home grow most of your talent. You selectively insert transfers. You have competitive NIL, which is good. You have great culture. This is the way. Like, I want BYU to continue to recruit at a high level. You get as many of the top LDS kids that want to come to BYU as you can. You insert other great fits, like Evan Johnson, great cultural fit. Trey Alexander, great fit. At BYU. Like, outside the faith, love being here, rep. Great players. This is the way. I'm not sure BYU can do it any other way. Like, if you said, oh yeah, now BYU has 50 million NIL and they just get randos. I don't think they win at a high level.
Would
like
BYU
that.
Taking the Texas Tech approach work?
I don't think it works
like
here.
It.
I think
doesn't
this
feel like
obviously
it.
It's a unique place. And men's basketball is trying to scratch out its own way of doing this.
They're trying to establish what they want their culture, their continuous culture to be moving forward. It's still early.
We were talking yesterday a little, like, how LDS does it need to be or not? Like, what does that look like? Football's got it going on. Punctuated with a playoff.
It took Kalani Sitake a little while to figure it out. Right?
Yeah.
So he figured it out.
And it's evolved.
So he gets there in 16, but it took him until about 2020 to feel like, okay, we've got a continuous cycle of talent here, guys that are bought in. And then the Power 4 invite happened, and then they had to reassess
everything.
And then
NIL portal, everything changes too.
So they had to reinvent themselves.
And then the Big 12 adds teams. Like,
correct.
What is stable in Kalani Sitake's ability to just anchor down and figure this out? The idea of evolving as it goes. And I think he and the administration and the coaching staff have done a great job of evolving with it. BYU could have crumbled to its knees this offseason with Kalani to Penn State, with Jay Hill to Michigan. Instead, Jay Hill and Gennaro go to Michigan, they get one player. That's crazy.
People want to stay at BYU.
That's crazy.
The athletes want to stay here.
Let's go, baby.
It's a credit to Kalani and his culture.
Absolutely.
Our question of the day, we just answered it. In the next 3 years, would you rather BYU football make a college football playoff? Oh, they've been so close the last 2 years. Or BYU men's basketball make a run to the Final Four?
I want to hear from the Final Four people. Like, that's who I want to hear from, okay? Nick Lee.
At Nick Lee 51.
I'm sick and tired of seeing the graphic of the most NCAA tournament appearances without a Final Four and the stretch Y logo smack at the top.
I'm saying.
I'm tired of it too, but I would rather have... I mean, like, if you would rather, he just said he's tired of seeing that graphic, and we just put it up.
Well, we have to drive the point home.
Do we? We already know, and we're tired of it. By the way, Tennessee, pretty close this year.
I just want BYU to get to another Elite Eight.
I'd take an Elite Eight.
How about that?
I don't even need the Final Four. I just want an Elite Eight. Eight.
I can handle the graphic for a few more years if BYU gets to an Elite Eight.
Yeah. I'm with you. Vegas Blue. I would rather have football make the playoffs, especially if it means we won the Big 12 championships to get there.
Okay.
I'm not that picky.
If you expand the playoff,
I just want to be
get in.
I don't care how. I'm not picky.
Yeah. Get rid of conference championship games. More on that in a moment. Weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram to join the conversation. Let's pick up the tempo as we move into the hurry-up drill.
Okay, the Final Four is this weekend in Indy. Who you got, Illinois or UConn?
I'm going against the grain here.
Oh.
I'm taking Illinois.
You like the Fighting Illini.
Yes.
Only 120 miles from campus.
I think their size will bother UConn. Mm. They are.
Terrace Reed Jr.
The Balkan block.
Like Terrace Reed's the truth, dude.
Telling you, Illinois, big physical team. Wagler, great player. I think they're going to give UConn some trouble. And then, yes, the X factor. It's going to be a pseudo home game for Illinois.
You think they can guard Braylon Mullins and Alex Caravan on the wing? I'm excited about that game. I have UConn. Who you got, Michigan or Arizona? Now, that's a heavyweight fight.
As much as I don't want an all-Big Ten championship, I think that's where I'm leaning. I think it's going to be Michigan and Illinois. I don't like that. I hope it's not an all-Big Ten championship.
I need to hear the latest on Elliott Cadeau, the point guard for Michigan. He had an allergic reaction earlier this week.
Yeah, will that limit him? Is he going to be available? Will he be the same player?
Go Arizona. Arizona fan here.
It's for the Big 12.
Rooting for Arizona?
Yeah, I'm rooting for Arizona.
Yeah, actively rooting for. I would root for every team in the Big 12 except for one.
Okay. With that said, Final Four weekend upon us. It's also Alumni Weekend here in Provo. Yep. The BYU Alumni Game at Lavelle Edwards Stadium, 8 Eastern, live on BYU TV. Who's going to be the Alumni Game MVP?
Navy, Cody Hoffman. By the way, somehow Cody Hoffman and Mitch Matthews are on the same team. That is super unfair.
Okay.
Also, prepare yourself for throws of under 10 yards.
It has to be that way. We're not trying to get people
significantly
injured.
Let's see them all push down the field a little bit.
Who's going to be the MVP of the alumni game? Jeremy, give me a Leva Hefo.
Oh, Leva's good with Royal, dude.
Come on.
What a great moment with Steve.
Steve, put him on the shoulder.
That went viral like a year later, too. BYU football alumni game, as mentioned, tonight, 8 Eastern on the BYU TV app. It's going to be awesome. We got Norm Chow and Robbie Bosco coaching the teams. It's going to be fantastic. Also, no more red clipboards ever.
Is that orange or red?
It looks red to me, but maybe let's call it orange because that's unacceptable if it's red.
Blaine Fowler doesn't know what color it is.
We're making fun of colorblind people!
Up next, Cougar football legends Norm Chow and John Walsh.
Oh, baby,
in
let's
Studio
go.
B!
Yeah.
Talk about that 94 squad a little bit. And get ready for the alumni game. This is BYU Sports Nation.
Dude, his 619 at Utah State.
We are live in Studio B with your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan. It is a feel-good Friday and an Alumni Day Friday, and we are super stoked to welcome in a dynamic duo that will be participating in the alumni game tonight. Legendary coach Norm Chow and one of the great BYU quarterbacks of all time, John Walsh. Good to have both of you guys here.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Fun to be here.
Coach, what was your reaction when you got the call from Kalani and Jack DeMooney and those guys that they wanted you to come back and head up a sideline here for the alumni game?
I thought he was kind of crazy, but I said, send me a couple airline tickets, which he did, so I said, okay. I got a couple grandkids up here, and we get a chance to see them. It's fun to be back, fun especially to see people like this.
Now, certainly not the same sort of competitive level as a D1 game, but I think once this game gets going, the competitive juices will flow. So what kind of game plan do you have here, Norm?
Well, I need to talk to Robbie first to make sure we're on the same page, but I got this guy, so I'm not too worried about it. I just hope he can throw the ball around.
John, what's it like for you to be back on campus and rocking the stretch Y and back with your BYU brethren?
You know what? It's an awesome experience. Getting together with old teammates, it's hard to explain unless you've been in that environment in the locker room and battles with them in the games and your brothers. And when you run into them and you see them, you reminisce about the good old times, and it's just really a special connection that you have with your old teammates. That's hard to explain, but it's It's unbelievable. I love it. I'm thankful to be here, and I'm proud to be a Cougar.
That's good. We're stoked to have you guys here. Norm, you've come and talked at the coaches' clinic in the last year or two. You were at the 84 Remembrance, now this. It's great to have you back here. What are the memories that flood back to you when you get back on campus?
That's a good question. You know, it's kind of mixed because a lot of the colleagues that we were with, you know, are no longer here. We spent some time with Fred Whittingham's wife, Nancy, the other day. And it brings back a lot of fond memories, you know, of players like this. But then the memories of the guys that we worked with, you know, makes it a little tough. But it's fun. It's fun. And, you know, it's just to see these guys and the men and grandparents or whatever they've become, granddads, it's fun. It's cool.
And along those lines, what you guys did and built from 70s on to now. Now BYU's in the Big 12. They're playing at a level that we've always sought, right, as a program. What kind of pride do you have in sort of what you guys did to get BYU to this point?
Well, you land on the shoulders of those that have gone before you. And it's nice to see what they've done. Football's so much different now with the NIL and all that, but the schemes and all that still remain the same. And it's just fun to see that Aaron and Kalani, the things that they're doing, interesting. It really is interesting. Times change, though, right? Times change, and you move on, and so you enjoy what you have right now.
John, I've been pretty bullish about the 1994 BYU football team, and Jerem has joined me in that conversation of being one of the most, if not the most, underappreciated teams in BYU football history. You go 10-3, you beat Notre Dame, you beat Oklahoma, and you go out with a bang. When you look back at that 94 season, what's maybe at the top of the list of fond memories from that run?
I think you got to go to the Notre Dame game, going to South Bend, and we were big underdogs, I believe, at the time, and just, you know, having grown up and seeing Notre Dame on TV and the prestige and Touchdown Jesus and being in those locker rooms. I mean, the locker room scene after the game, I had to get through all, because I did like, I forget what, I was late into the locker room. And by the time I had gotten in there, I mean, it was just a madhouse. I mean, we were going nuts. It was one of those games that you dream about as a young football player, that you get to play in a stadium like that and then to come out victorious. My parents were there. I got to give my dad the game ball.
Wow.
Which he still has. And so there's just memories like that. But I would say that was probably the pinnacle of that season, beating Notre Dame. We had Tim Nowatzki, who was from Indiana. He was my roommate, and I know how much it meant to him and all the rest of the guys. So yeah, that victory was pretty special.
What do you remember about freshman Kalani, who is notably celebrating?
I didn't even know who our head coach was. I was like, I don't know Kalani. They're like, yes, you do. So, yeah. You know what? He got some time in there as a fullback, and he was a high energy guy, always jumping around. He was a lead kind of coach, used him as like a lead blocker, like on a goal line and different situations to clear the path for our running backs. And so, yeah, he was a high energy, great teammate. And so, happy for him.
I have to say, when he came, he kept telling me he was a running back. And I said, no, okay, the fullback can run the ball once in a while. You're a fullback.
You would throw to him out of the backfield, too. He had pretty good hands.
He did. You know, we had a little play, John will know. It was a trap. It was a draw, a trap that looked like a draw, and the fullback would get the ball. And he'd always get mad at me because he would get the ball and we'd get down to the 4 or the 5 and we'd give it to somebody else.
Give it to Jamal.
Teased him all.
Yeah, that's right.
Norm Chow and John Walsh with us on BYU Sports Nation as they approach the alumni game. John, you had the distinct privilege of following up a guy named Ty Detmer at BYU. Not everybody's ready for that challenge or wants to take on that challenge. Why did you want that spot at BYU to be the guy after Ty?
Well, because he was leaving after my freshman year. I think personally, probably Ty is maybe the greatest Cougar of all times as far as his college career, winning the Heisman Trophy. And I'll never forget being on the sidelines my freshman year. This is a true story. And I thought I was, you know, I think every player to get to this point has to believe in themselves and think you're the best or what have you. And I was standing on the sidelines and I was watching some of the things that he was doing. He was kind of like Johnny Manziel before Johnny Manziel in college. And I remember thinking to myself on the sidelines, I don't know if I could do this. I really questioned my ability that if I could play D1 football because of the scrambling, making plays and off timing type of stuff and all those things. But yeah, I mean, he was amazing. Those were big shoes to fill, that's for sure. It was a little difficult as far as like, you know, like the getting the fans on my side. I probably wasn't the fan favorite or anything like that. So that was a little tough and kind of hurt a little bit, or a lot, I guess I could be honest. But he was he's a great guy, great player. I learned a lot from him, and it was cool to have the Heisman Trophy winner, you know, my freshman year, and be able to watch him play and learn from him and those type of things.
Lavelle never called you Pee Wee Herman like him, though.
You know what I'm saying? I had never heard that.
Now you know.
You called him Pee Wee Herman. Hey, we got Pee Wee Herman over here.
You never heard that. Which is pretty funny.
In the record books, John, you're still there for the single game passing record of 619. It's a weird one because it's a loss at Utah State, but 619, what do you remember from that day?
The ball going in the air a whole bunch. It was a little rough start for us. We didn't really get the ball moving, and then in the second and third quarter, and then the game just started flowing. They started putting up points. We answered back. I think I hit Tyler Anderson up the left side for like an 80-yard touchdown pass. One of the negative ones, and one thing that I do regret a little bit, I hit Eric Dredge across, and a guy came up and got him and ended up breaking his ribs. And the guy, the defender, stood over him and did something like that. And I wish I would have gone over there and just jacked the guy up and started a melee. Because, you know, you do that to a guy like Eric Dredge, who's probably, you know, arguably one of the greatest receivers in BYU history, was a leader on our team, an unbelievable playmaker. And that was my one regret from that game, that I didn't go over there and give him a little
extra piece something
of my mind. BYU book.
Coach, when you assess John's career and you see his ascension from 93 in that Holiday Bowl, and you almost beat Ohio State and then you win 10 games in 94, what do you remember about watching him go to the next level?
It was always fun to see, because the quarterback succession at that time just kind of rolled on. He just fit right in and could really throw the ball around, and it allowed you to do some fun stuff because you knew he was going to get it done. I do remember really flinging it around. I remember more about the game in Oklahoma when we were down there, and he was going crazy with that stuff. Lots of fond memories. Lots of fond memories.
Do you have an opinion on who the greatest quarterback at BYU is, given that you coach basically all of them?
Nope. I don't.
You told me it was me.
Yeah, I told Ty. Wait a minute. And I told Ty it was him. I told Robbie it was him. So.
Like your kids, right? Yeah, who's your favorite kid?
Right, yeah.
Whoever's listening the most at the moment. Yeah.
What has you most excited about playing in tonight's game, John? And how's the arm feeling?
I got to be honest. It's a little so-so. I've been throwing a little bit, and it's a little sore. I just told Coach, I think he's got to put me on a limited throw count here at practice. I don't want to throw my arm out for the game, but hopefully we'll be all right. Hopefully this thin air helps me out. We'll see. Yeah. We'll see how it goes. I think we're going to go with the short controlled passing game.
Yeah, we're going to control the football and we'll knock a little more on. So that he can do that now, the three steps.
He called me the other day and he's like, he started again, we're going to go cover two, dude. And I said, Coach, you think you're talking to Sark? Just call the play. I'll find the opening.
That's great. How many plays do you have ready tonight?
Six.
Okay.
Variations.
We'll make adjustments off of those six.
Love it. Yeah. Love it.
We'll call them the original six plays.
Yeah. That's right.
Okay. Do you have enough playmakers, you feel like, on your team?
Well, we were like a little – I just saw Toby Christensen, and he's one of the receivers. He said, hey, I'm hoping we have a lot of younger guys than I am. But we'll see. We'll have fun. We have a good variety. We have tight ends, and Jamal Willis is a running back, so it should be fun.
Aleva Hifo, I think, is in shape and ready to go.
Yeah.
So young guys
that you can
Aleva.
Send deep.
Yeah. He's quick still. Yep. He's
absolutely.
And kind of cool plays on defense, but I'm going to, when I see him, say, hey, you got to go both ways here.
He can do it. He can do it.
John, when you saw BYU ascend specifically into the Big 12 and the Power 4 level, and then to see them do what they've done the past 2 years, 12-win season, and they got to the Big 12 championship just this last year, what's that like for you? Again, going back to what Jeremy talked about earlier, the build and where BYU football is right now.
I mean, it's awesome. I called Chad Lewis and spoke to him a little bit before the Big 12 championship game last year, and I think that might have been one of the biggest games in BYU's history, that game. I mean, you win that, you go into the playoffs. I mean, that's an unbelievable accomplishment. And to see where they're going, the trajectory that they're on, what the coaching staff has done. It's just, it makes us proud. You know, we have a group of guys that I keep in contact, like six or seven of us, old BYU boys, and we're always, during the game, we're texting, did you see that, you know? And the one thing about that game against Texas Tech, I thought personally, in the first half, our boys were flying around, especially on defense. If we get one or two of those batted balls or the tip balls, it could be a whole different game, because now you're not chasing points, now you're in the lead, now you kind of control tempo, they're pressing. You know, so that they kind of pulled away from us at the end. But I felt like if we would have got one of those or two of those plays in the first half, it could have been a much different game.
BYU's identity is a little different than it was back when you were the OC. BYU's got a really nice run game and a good defense, and then the pass kind of complements that.
Yep.
It's a little different. How have you kind of seen the evolution of BYU offensively?
Well, they're a lot more balanced, but people obviously don't remember. Back then, it was balanced. We always had a 1,000-yard rusher, always had. But it was known because of the way these young guys performed as a real passing school. But I think Aaron Roderick does a terrific job with the offense. I really do. He mixes it up, and, you know, that quarterback is – I'd like to meet him one someday, maybe this weekend. But he's a pretty good player now. He gives you a lot more – versatility in what you can and cannot do. I didn't realize he's so big.
He's a big guy.
Yeah. He's a big guy.
He's thick.
And you always watch him, and he always falls forward. You know, when he gets tackled, he's always moving forward, and that's a running back type of guy. You know.
Aaron's done all right. When you recruited this little guy to Rick's, you didn't think, hey, this guy would be the OC in 20, 30 years?
No question. Yeah, he and I were together with Kalani at Utah for a year, and you could tell he's a good football coach and a good young man, and he's a dad, I'm sure, but he's he's older, not a young man, I guess, anymore, but he does a great job.
Shout out to those 1,000-yard running backs, Lucky Hemuli, Peter Tuipulotu, Jamal Willis,
Hema Hemuli.
Come on, that's an
unsung hero right there. He's a bad man.
Yeah,
great teammate.
And that
great
made teammate. The throwing, that opened the throwing up, just like it does now, you know, with the run game that they have. Yep.
Great to have both of you here. Thanks for spending some time with us. And again, let us reiterate how excited we are to have both of you back and to watch you do your thing tonight.
Appreciate being here. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Good luck to the play calling and the shoulder. Let's go. BYU baseball looks to bounce back from last night's Game 1 loss at Baylor. Game 2 coming up today, ESPN Plus, BYU Radio, 4 Eastern time.
Still on the way, which BYU basketball players headed to the transfer portal? How did gymnastics fare at NCAA regionals, and Sean Olmsted that much closer to history in men's volleyball? Headlines on the way on BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. Let's roll out today's headline, sponsored by BYU Continuing Education, inspiring lifelong learning for Cougar fans everywhere.
BYU football wrapped up spring ball yesterday, 15 practices. Tonight, the annual BYU football alumni game at LaBelle Edwards Stadium. Admission is free. We'll have you covered live on BYU TV. The breakdown of the game, interviews, current and former BYU coaches and players, beginning at 8 Eastern time on the BYU TV app.
BYU women's basketball forward Mariah Hudgens announces on social media yesterday her intentions to enter the transfer portal for her final season. Hudgens played in 27 games this season, worked through some injuries, averaged just over 9 points a game, 4.6 rebounds. She was a menace on the glass, no doubt about it. The portal officially opens on Tuesday, April 7th. We wish the best to Mariah wherever she lands.
Number 10, BYU men's volleyball swept Vanguard last night, led by Connor Oldaney's 11 kills. With the win, Sean Olmsted ties Carl McGowan for most career NCAA wins at BYU. Cougars are back in action tonight for Game 2 at 10 Eastern with coverage on Big Ten Plus as Sean Olmsted looks to become the BYU leader in wins.
24th-ranked BYU Gymnastics finishes a great season, comes to an end at the NCAA Regionals yesterday, where the Cougars took third in their division with a 196.250. And tough to go and beat the top two teams to get it to move on, but they're building for something better. Notably, senior Kylie Equinto scored a 39.325 in the all-around in her final competition at BYU. Congratulations to Kylie.
BYU baseball drops Game 1 at Baylor 12-5. Ezra Erickson went 2-for-2, 3 RBIs, 3 runs, and a homer. Next up, Game 2 today, 4 Eastern, ESPN Plus, BYU Radio.
BYU softball drops Game 1 of the series in Lubbock against second-ranked Texas Tech 11-1. Red Raiders are national championship good. The Cougars will look to bounce back in Game 2 today, 7 Eastern, with coverage on FS1.
That's cool there on FS1. I like that. Number 32 women's tennis won at number 38 Baylor, because that's how tennis rankings work. 4-3 yesterday to win their 7th consecutive match. BYU now 18-4 on the year. 7-3 in the Big 12. 18-4 gets you number 32. BYU continues the road trip at number 22, TCU.
Shout out to Coach Holly Hassler doing her thing. Number 67, BYU men's tennis loses at number 5, TCU 4-0. The Cougars now 13-6 on their season and 1-4 in Big 12 men's play. BYU will stay in Texas to face 9th-ranked Baylor tomorrow.
Former Cougar Patrick Fishburne playing in the Valero Texas Open on the PGA Tour. Finished round 1, tied for 60th at 1 under par, right on the projected cut line, currently sitting at 1 over. Overall through 7 holes in round 2.
Let's go, P-Fish. And then this just in minutes ago, Paige Rasmussen runs in 11.06 seconds, 100 meters at the Texas Relays, and sets the BYU school record in doing so in that event, running the 4th fastest time in all of the NCAA this year. Congratulations to Paige.
That is cooking.
11.06.
Congratulations.
After the break, we're going to have some fun with a Friday draft. The BYU Dream Team NBA Jam Duos.
Ooh.
Who's going to get on our individual squads? Who has the best team? This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by BYU Continuing Education, inspiring lifelong learning for Cougar fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation live in Studio B, and we now transition into our social media juggernaut of a topic based on something Brandon Walker of Barstool Sports put out a few weeks ago on X, talking about the best college basketball NBA Jam combos. Now, if you're not familiar with NBA Jam, fantastic video game that came out in the early 90s, 2-on-2 basketball, the best stars on your team going head-to-head on the NBA level.
Still,
so we've just taken this conversation to greatest college basketball NBA Jam combos.
Yeah.
We're going to do it for BYU, and we're going to draft our duos, and then let the people decide who has the best duo.
Who's going first?
That is the question. Colton Potter is our producer. He holds the key there. Colton, who gets to draft number one? It's going to be Jeremy Jordan.
I don't know why, and I don't care.
Shocker. What's that Venmo payment I saw just before the show?
Give me the most talented player in BYU history. I'm taking... Nope, I'm changing my mind. Give me Jimmer Fredette.
Wow!
I was going to take AJ.
Wow!
Who's not coming back.
Okay.
I'm taking Jimmer because I'm going to value threes over dunks. I'm going to value threes over dunks. Give me Jimmer, baby! You can't stop him! He's on fire! I'm going to score the most points with Jimmer. Jimmer, easy pick there.
Listen,
easy pick. I hesitated, but Jimmer's the pick.
I'm going to guard Jimmer with AJ DiBonsa and his length.
Can't guard
He's
Jimmer.
Swatting all sorts of stuff on the court.
You can't guard your other show, homie. I love AJ, but no.
Elite athleticism, like top dunking capability in the game. You can get on fire by making three dunks in a row, too, and then you can shoot threes with AJ while you're on fire.
True, but this just in, threes greater than twos.
You're right.
I'm
but
getting
if you can't score threes if you block it.
It's true, and that's why my second pick. Now I have a choice here. I'm hesitant.
Oh, you go, snake.
Okay,
snake
never
draft?
Mind. Never mind. Good thing I didn't say anything.
You kidding me? I'll get my 3-point shooting with a guy who didn't get to enjoy the 3-point line in his college days. Give me Danny Ainge. Danny Ainge, AJ DiBonsa, championship.
That's a pretty good team, except I'm getting the first great international player ever, who in the modern era would be a stretch 5 ball handler. He's like what Giannis is now. That's why Krešimir Ćosić. Give me Krešimir Ćosić, 6'11", handles, and trust me, in a modern context, he would be able to shoot threes.
The man who
but I need
built the Marriott Center.
Kresh is going to like at least contest AJ a little bit better than like obviously Danny or Jimmer would. So, okay.
Flip those because my team's by Jerem.
Okay, but we have these up. Okay, what I love about this, and you should probably take it full, but I'm just coming up to this anyway, is, okay, you got speed. Kresh is fast. Look how fast Kresh is there. Jimmer dunks like nothing.
Jimmer should have 100 three-pointer. Jimmer should be perfect on the three-pointers.
Yeah, dunks Chosich all the way. AJ all the way. I love that. This is fun. This is really fun.
Danny,
I think this would be a
AJ DiBonsa.
I think this would be a good game.
The Boston guys.
There you go. Yeah, Boston guys. Yeah, very nice. I think this would be a heck of a matchup to watch in real life, like in their prime.
In some ways,
AJ's not even in his prime. He's just getting going.
Yours is the international superstar team because Jimmer was an international superstar, right?
Yeah.
Kresh is, he's the guy.
Yeah. Like, I think that your team would beat mine because we're seeing modern athleticism of AJ against, like, ancient athleticism, right, of Kresh. But look at this. That would be so fun. He's on fire!
It's hilarious, dude.
Boom shakalaka! So fun fact, like 10 years ago or
I
whatever.
I want this game now.
I know, right? When we did the, Ace is gonna send us an invoice for using AJ's likeness here. I'm just kidding. Like 10 years ago or whatever, when we did the kind of Midnight Madness original idea, we called it Boom Shakalaka.
Yes.
Because that was the working title, and then we just never changed it.
BYU Boom.
So then it was Boom Shakalaka, which was super funny. It was like, can we use this? I guess so. Sure. Great.
You
wore that t-shirt the other day.
And I have two of them, because it lasted for a few years.
Nice.
So I still have the OG, which is like, that t-shirt's probably 12 years old.
As old.
Then we did it again, so that other one's like probably a decade old.
Yeah.
Come on!
I think your team would beat my team. Because modern athleticism. But if Krešimir Ćosić was in the modern game, I'm telling you, he'd be like Giannis. Like
Luka?
Luka to me is not super athletic.
Okay.
Like, he's only step back athletic.
Kresh is
also, he's got a hamstring injury now.
Skinnier version of Luka?
No, I don't like the Luka comp at all. Also, Kresh has a good attitude and doesn't complain. Ćosić and Fredette versus Danny Ainge and AJ DiBonsa. That's really fun.
You know, I just know you're not a big Luka fan, which is why Luka. I went
He's
there.
He's a freaking whiner, dude. BYU softball looks to bounce back from last night's loss to Nigeri Kennedy, who is unbelievable. Number two Texas Tech.
$1 million arm in softball at Texas Tech.
Literally. FS1 tonight, 7 Eastern.
Would you rather BYU football break through and make a college football playoff in the next 3 years, or in that same time span, have BYU men's basketball make a Final Four? More responses after this.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by PAX, healthcare careers built for victory.
Welcome back to a Friday edition of BYU Sports Nation with our question of the day, which is, in the next 3 years, would you rather BYU football break through and make a college football playoff, or men's basketball make a run to the Final Four?
Royal Blue Drew says, given our history in the tournament, the Final Four feels like the bigger hurdle to get over. Yeah, BYU's not had a lot of great success. Well, BYU's won 2 games in the NCAA tournament 3 times ever. It's crazy.
They've won 3 games in the tournament once ever.
It's crazy.
And it took one of the all-time moments in NCAA basketball tournament history by Danny Ainge to do so.
It typically does require greatness to do something like that.
Our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX, healthcare careers built for victory, comes in from at Puka Jimmer, says, win a game in the playoffs, I take football. If just making the playoffs, I'll take a Final Four in basketball. If you want to win a game. He's going one step beyond. Like,
I want to win.
I want to get to the playoffs and win. Yeah. I'm going football.
Gotcha.
Okay. Today's Rise and Shout Out, presented by Mountain America, official credit union of BYU Athletics.
To Richie Saunders, who talked to the Cougar Club this week and had this to say about his recovery so far.
Everything is going just as good as it could, if not better. Just want to say thank you for your guys' support to me and to everybody's prayers. I've felt that, and I've never felt that in my life. I've felt like I haven't been in any pain this whole time. I've been uncomfortable, but I haven't been in severe pain. And I want to attribute that to your guys' and the other thousands of prayers and continued prayers, so thank you. That next day, Elder Bednar came and visited, and he said some key things to me that helped me move past. He said, is this going to be a lesson or is this going to be a curse? And from that is like that was just one of the things he said, but from that, like, gave me like, okay, this is going to be a lesson.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable insight. Ah, we love Richie. More Richie. Whew. Our thanks to today's guests, Norm Chow, legendary coach, and one of the BYU quarterback greats, John Walsh.
Sorry to Dennis Pitta, who is not playing in the Olympics.
For Jerem, I'm Spencer. Shout out to Alan Boardman.
Nice.
Punter on that 94 squad.
Put punters in the alumni game.
Have a happy Easter, everyone, and enjoy General Conference weekend. Go Cougs.
And go Arizona.